Hello and welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, precisionhydration.com.
Precision Hydration offer electrolyte drinks in different strengths to match how you sweat. Personalize your hydration strategy today at precisionhydration.com and get a free box or tube of pH worth up to $9.99 using the code OXYGENADDICT.
We're also brought to you by foodcell.co.uk.
The next generation of nutritional carriers designed to allow endurance triathletes and cyclists to carry enough food and gels while allowing easy access. Check it out at foodcell.co.uk.
And we're also brought to you by Team Oxygen Addicts, and you can find us at team.oxygenaddict.com. And Hells,
we've take three.
This is we've had the giggles before we even started. Come on, we can do this. We can do this. Oh wow!
I was going to say Prynhawn Hound Da, which means good afternoon.
It means good afternoon in Welsh, does it?
Yeah, I could do Nos Da, which is good evening. So maybe we should do good evening. Nos Da, Rob.
Nos Da, Helen.
Sidachi, how are you?
Very good. I'm very impressed.
Yeah. So what happens when you go to Tenby for the weekend?
It has been Ironman Wales weekend, and the lovely Helen has been down, and she has been ruthlessly chasing down the finish line interviews, much more of which you can hear later. Who do we have, Hells? We had Lucy Gossage.
Yep, Lucy, Phil Graves, Heather Wirtel, Camilla Pedersen. Brian Fogarty. We had Lewis Eccleston.
Yeah, so yeah. Some good audio. I had a good chuckle listening to you, poor old Phil Graves, having his legs tortured on the massage table while you ask him questions.
There is a bit of a tale about that one, Rob, in that I was where I was meant to be in the finish line area, waiting to get interviews, and there was a guy there from BBC Wales. So I said to him, right, you get Matt Troutman and I'll get Phil Graves and then I'll come back and get Matt Troutman. So I went over to speak to Phil. I said, Phil, can I interview you? And he said, Helen, you know, yeah, but I really need to go and get a massage. Will you come in there and you can do it while I'm having a massage?
Okay.
I was like, yeah, no problem. So just walked into the recovery tent. He got on the massage table. I then was doing the interview, and then obviously you'll hear a little bit later, but then Brian Fogarty walks in. So I was like, well, I may as well carry on and interview Brian Fogarty. And then someone came up to me and said, can I see your accreditation, please?
Oh, no.
So I don't have any accreditation because I was never given any accreditation. But, you know, the media manager absolutely knows I'm here. And she was like, I need you to come outside and then we can check that.
You got thrown out. I love it. You got thrown out.
I was like, oh, no. And I was like, look, I'm really sorry. I know I shouldn't have been in there, but, you know, Phil had said, please, can we do it in there? I got thrown out. And then someone else was like, sorry, can I see your accreditation? I was like, I don't have any. I wasn't given any. But the media manager, he knows I'm here. It's all fine. And then I think they were just staring madly when Nikki Bartlett came just before the presentation there, and you know, someone just gave me her rucksack to look after. I think they were just like, who is this weirdo?
Who is the woman with the microphone? She seems to know everybody. She's on first name terms with all of them.
Yet she doesn't have accreditation.
Though to be fair, you have to think that person's doing their job, because thinking that young woman's just followed Phil Graves into the massage tent. I'll just check that that's legit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is the thing. I totally appreciate that, you know, that is an area for athletes. So yeah, it was quite right of her to check.
Absolutely right. So, well, that's our little thing then. Shall we do results first of other things around the world, and then we'll play your interview out then? That's probably the way to go, isn't it?
Yeah, so let's talk about the other ones, and then we're going to come back on to Tenby, because there's so much to talk about.
There's so much to talk about there. So we'll have a little nosy off around the world at the other races that have been going on. So first up, shout out to sponsors precisionhydration.com, makers of the finest and most delicious electrolyte drinks known to man. Hells, I believe you were rocking the old Precision Hydration leisure wear this weekend in Tenby.
Correct. It was either the trucker cap or the bobble hat, which I had on. So pretty much what's that from, 5 o'clock in the morning through to 9 p.m. at night. I was a walking billboard for Precision Hydration. And Ross, hello, Ross. Ross actually just recognized me from the cap. And he said, oh, are you Helen from the podcast?
Oh, there you go. Very smart of them to make a bobble hat as well, because obviously it's bobble hat season now from September all the way through to next June again. You get to wear the trucker cap for about 6 weeks in the summertime in the UK, and then it's straight back into bobble hat weather, isn't it?
I tell you, Rob, very smart of me to have taken both with me for Wales, where it did, get warm enough during the middle of the day. And then I was like, oh my God, I need my bobble hat.
Yeah, get the bobble hat back on. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So listen, you can get over and check out electrolyte drinks mixed up by the wonderful Precision Hydration at precisionhydration.com. Remember, you can use the code OXYGENADDICT to get free box or tube of pH worth up to $9.99. Basically, it's a risk-free trial. We recommend it. It's great stuff. It doesn't taste horrible and salty. If you're racing in hot conditions, you're going to need some electrolyte replacement. If you're training indoors, you're going to need some electrolyte replacement. And let's be honest, as well as making the best tasting ones around, they're all blooming nice chaps as well. So get on there and support them. Precisionhydration.com, and it's $9.99 using the code OXYGENADDICT. Sorry, it's not. It's free, isn't it? Free box or tube worth up to $9.99.
Correct.
Good stuff. So around the world we go. Let's kick off first with Wisconsin, where it was a pro race only for the ladies, wasn't it?
Correct, Rob. And Lindsay Corbin there was wearing the number one bib and also crossed the line in first position in 9:12. Really comfortable win there. Second was Jenny Hansen of the US and third, Katie Thomas. So it's good to see Lindsay Corbin back, back where she belongs, Rob.
Back on the top step. In Europe, we had Ironman 70.3 Rügen, and men's race in particular was an interesting one for me because I was sitting down watching for how Patrick Langer was, little bits of form indicator for him with only 5 weeks to go to Kona, and he actually didn't win Hulls. I thought, whole way around, I was thinking, okay, yeah, he's come out of the water. I think he was about a minute down. All right, okay. He's going to turn the afterburners on the bike. He kind of sat in on the bike. And then it gets to the run, and I thought, all right, here we go. This is where it's going to happen. Just didn't happen for him this time. He was beaten by about 3 minutes by Florian Anger. Questions being asked, I think, now. Is he hedging his bets before Kona? Is he keeping his powder dry, or was that what he had on the day? Did Florian Anger have the race of his life?
That's it. We don't know, do we? We were not there, and it's very different for us to be able to just see results and say, oh, that's really quick, or oh, that's a bit slow, but we don't know actually the background to that. Regardless, it's going to be a fascinating race in Hawaii, isn't it?
And that'll be interesting for him because he was pretty much under the radar last year, but obviously things change, don't they? You go in with the crown and everybody knows who you are, so he's going to have a tremendously different run into the race, a lot more pressure on him. And I'm wondering whether this race is basically an indicator of the pressure sitting heavily on his shoulders already,
could be, because I guess with all of what happened in Kona, then comes a whole load more media, more sponsorship, and just so much more to manage outside of the normal swim, bike, run, eat, recovery, isn't it? And I remember a couple of other people have said that previously, that sometimes when you're then like sort of thrust into the limelight, then it can be very difficult initially to get used to that and to get your head around that.
Well, watch your space, I guess. We know he's an incredible runner when he's in shape and is in form. And he'll obviously bring the best form he's got to Kona. So watch this space, eh?
Absolutely. On the women's side, Rob, it was a comfortable win for Germany's Laura Philipp. She basically absolutely nailed it. She didn't have the quickest swim. That went to Claire Han, who finished second, British pro triathlete in 4:32. And then Laura Zimmermann was third from Germany, just a minute after Claire Han. And Rob, Claire Han, I recall from Staffordshire 70.3 a few years ago in my age group. I think she nailed the win there. That was when she was racing as an age grouper and went on to race at the 70.3 World Championships in Austria that year.
There you go. So she stepped up from racing pro now.
Yeah, super swimmer. Absolute super swimmer.
All of which brings us round to Ironman Wales. Obviously, fantastic crowning sort of race in the UK at the moment. Amazing reputation, amazing atmosphere when it's down there. Helen's got loads and loads of clips of different athletes racing there for you to listen to in a minute. And on the ladies' side, first of all, it's another win for the machine, Lucy Gossage.
Rob, yeah, incredible. So she had won there twice before in 2013 and in 2017. And then this year, you'll hear in her interview, you know, she went into the race with like an unbeaten streak, way going back to last year with Ironman racing.
And how many races is she unbeaten in now? What's she won? She won Wales, didn't she, last year?
Yeah, and then and Bolton before that.
She won Bolton, then Wales. Did she win Lanzarote?
Italy,
that's right, at the back end of last year. Then Lanzarote. Then UK.
And then Bolton
again.
UK this year, yeah.
Wowzers. So is that seven on the trot?
I need to double check, but it's something.
That's right. Like that's incredible,
which is
isn't it?
Streak, which is amazing, yeah.
Someone who's now working full time.
So working 3 days a week as an oncologist, and throw into the mix the fact that she had medical exams this week as well. So she's, you know, spent a lot of time recently since Ironman UK, you know, focusing on those exams.
Yeah.
So it is just incredible. And yesterday, watching her, it was awesome. Saw her on the bike and she came out the water. Her and Nikki came out quite a few minutes behind. So they had a lot of chasing to do on the bike. And but by the end of the bike, Lucy, you know, led into T2, and then she just looked so comfortable on that run and just looked like she was absolutely loving it and having a blast.
Good stuff there. And then so Lucy takes the win. Camilla Pedersen came through for second, didn't she? And how did Nikki Bartlett look taking third?
Oh, so Nikki, oh man, Nikki's an absolute trooper, Rob. Nikki collapsed pretty much when she got over the finish line. So she came over the finish line. She had run herself into second.
Right.
And overtaken Camilla. And then they were pretty close together for a while. And then we looked at the tracker again and Nikki had fallen back. And I think by that point, I had probably gone off towards the finish line to go and get the men's post-race interviews. And a friend had said, oh, yeah, she wasn't looking great. And she came over the line like 10 minutes after Camilla Pedersen. And Joanne Murphy in the finish area was almost trying to say to her, like, you know, go and thank the crowd. And she did, but it was almost like, oh, I really don't, you know, not that I don't want to, but like, I can't.
Not feeling well. Yeah.
Can't. But she did. She sort of like went back under the finish arch and kind of semi-clapped, like, you know, thank you. Came back into the under the finish arch, into that finish area, literally collapsed. And then, you know, the medical teams were around her. She got taken off in a wheelchair and just, it was really, really horrible to see someone in that state because she just was not in any way with it. And you could see her like slump in the chair and like the head sort of falling backwards.
She went full Wilby.
Oh, this is really, really not good. And then maybe another sort of 20 minutes later, 25 minutes later, she came back out. Then they did the podium. But even then, she just didn't even look with it on the podium. I do not know, Rob, how she did that last half of that marathon.
Well, that's off
it's
to
just
her.
Amazing.
She dug pretty deep, I think.
Oh, she would have absolutely given everything to hang on to third pro female. Yeah.
Top amazing. Work. And tell me about the men's race then. What did you see? Tell me about that. Tell me about the atmosphere and the whole deal.
So Matt Troutman just looked in absolute sublime form on that run. He just looks so, so comfortable. Phil Graves was first up Saunders Foot on the first lap, so up that hill. And then Troutman wasn't too far behind him at all. And then, yeah, on the run, Troutman looked... He looked the more comfortable of the
right,
two.
Okay.
Definitely. And, you know, beneath that, they did all seem like quite close together. You had a few Spaniards, so like Gustavo Rodriguez, who ended up coming in third, and then Victor Del Corral was out there. And the guy who came fifth, Diego, he looked so comfortable, Robbie, a Belgian guy, and he looked as comfortable on the run as Matt Troutman.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah,
because I saw some updates on the live video feed, and I saw Matt Troutman and Phil Graves coming in off the bike together.
Yeah,
and then updates that I read said that Troutman had just done the fastest T2 and zipped off, and that was the last Phil Graves saw of him.
Yeah. Honestly, Troutman on the run was just he was ahead, like comfortably ahead. And in the end, he finished 7 minutes ahead of Phil Graves, who
Great
finished
to
second.
See Phil Graves racing well again. I know it's like second place, third time in a row. And I know that he would have hoped for the win and wanted the win, but it's great to see him getting himself back into shape and racing really well. And, second place at a great big event like this is nothing to wrinkle your nose at all. It's a fantastic performance from him, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You'll hear in the interview why, when you sort of say, you know, he came second here, an absolute solid 9 hours, you'll hear quite why that is so impressive. When we play out the interview, I think
so. Well, this is probably the good place to play that out, I think, now, isn't it? So that listeners can get the benefit of your brutal finish line interview in technique.
Brutal? I don't think it's brutal, Rob. I'm very polite.
No, the interview in technique's great. I just love the idea of chasing Phil into the massage tent to get the scoop.
In his speedos. He was literally in his speedos.
Really?
I should have. Crikey. With a towel over him, but
they are never letting you anywhere near the male pro finishes again, are they? I'm loving it.
Probably not.
All right, listen, before we play out the interview, we need to give a shout out to sponsors Fuel Cell. You'll have heard us talking about Fuel Cell over the last couple of episodes. It's one of the few carriers that you can carry food or gels attached to the top tube. It'll fit almost any bike. It can actually get a significant amount of food or gels in. This will take four of the big sort of hi-fi fat size gels in there, or you can get a couple of decent sized pieces of flapjack in there. So it's been designed to allow you to get a decent amount of stuff in while still allowing you to get your fingers into and out of it one-handed as you're riding. So there's a really nifty little slide mechanism on the top that makes it virtually waterproof as you're riding along, so stuff doesn't get soaking wet on the inside. It's dead easy to operate one-handed, so you can get stuff in and out one-handed as you're riding along, and it remains really aerodynamic despite being the same sort of size as those sort of baggy bento tube top tube bag things. So aerodynamically, it has been proven in the wind tunnel and the CFD testing to be virtually invisible to the wind, and with some of the new bikes it's actually more aerodynamic with that attached to it. So dead impressive. British company that are a startup who are promoting it, so you can support a bit of British ingenuity as well. Mark, who runs the company, is a very high-performing Ironman triathlete himself, when he's not falling off his bike and breaking his collarbone. Bless him. Hiya to you, yeah, Mark. Hope you're feeling better, buddy. it'll remain attached to your bike, either fixed into those two little bolts on your top tube if you've got those, or with some nifty little Velcro ties on the top if you haven't got those on. So you can get over and check it out over at fuelcell.com. We had an offer on up until last week with 20% off. That offer is now expired. So if you're still after one, you can check it out over at foodcell.co.uk. All right, Hels.
Awesome.
I think it's time to go over to your interview of the week. We have, I think, leading that off is Lucy Gossage. So here we go.
Correct.
Here's Helen's audio from Ironman Wales.
Lucy Gossage, delighted. I was so happy for you when you crossed that line. You were pretty emotional.
Oh, it was such a fun day. I even enjoyed the swim. I never enjoyed the swim. The support was it's indescribable. It was like a wall of sound. Like running up from the swim, there was just this wall of, it seemed like wall of Lucy's. And they're coming up Saundersfoot Hill on the bike was just immense.
That's a bit where I was and you didn't hear me.
And the run, like, I've never, like, I was in tears with 8 miles to go. And the last mile, normally you just want to get to the finish. And I just wanted to keep running around and save
bottle
it.
Up.
Yeah, bottle it. And I was trying to do that. If you have never done this race, you really should, because it's like, even Camilla and Heather, they both said it was amazing. You really should. And we were lucky this year with the weather.
Didn't get any rain, did you?
No, it's perfect. So it's really windy, but perfect racing day, actually.
Is today the last one?
The last.
Ironman.
No, I don't know. I'm doing Patagon Man in December. I don't know. I had these exams. I hadn't really thought about Wales. I did it because of FOMO. I was like, I know if it's on and I'm not in it, I will be gutted. But I had no idea how it go, and I've no idea if I'll just, you know, tomorrow wake up and actually be dead, because I think the stress of the exams and everything might have taken more out of me, or I'll wake up and I'll be like, I want to do another one. So I've no idea which way it will go.
How hellish has this week been? Because
sorry,
yeah,
win.
I did.
Oh, well done! We
Thank
saw you.
You
had the biggest smile. We saw you. You had the biggest smile all the way through the town, which is
thank
lovely.
You very much.
Because a lot of people don't, do they? They're in a zone, and
thank
you're
you.
Really enjoying it.
Thank
well
you very
done.
Much. They're live.
How hellish has this week been? Because you had
The exams were horrible. Like 6 hours with an hour break in a driving test. I just hope I passed them. I worked really hard, really hard. But, you know, probably the lesson is that I've always overtrained, because actually, you know, I was probably super fresh physically. Like mentally I was exhausted, but physically probably, yeah, fresh. I think that the thing about the exams, the hardest bit was actually always having internal conflict, because when I was training, I wanted to be revising. When I was revising, I wanted to be training. And the only time I didn't have any of that was when I was at work. And it was actually quite, you know, I'm at work, I can't train, I can't revise. This is easy. So that was probably the hardest bit, actually.
And then mentally leading up to it, you said you were mentally exhausted. Were you almost like just shattered and just like, I can't even think about it?
Well, I couldn't think about it until Thursday, and then I...
Then we were like panicked.
But then I was like, I haven't unpacked any of my rubbish from Bolton. I just, like, because, you know, Bolton wasn't that long ago, and I have literally just had to work pretty hard, so I just bunged it all in the room. Like, oh my God. Luckily, I had a lovely friend who sourced out my bike for me. But, yeah, so there's a lot to be said for racing with no pressure. So I had zero pressure. And racing just because you want to is a good way to do it.
So, you know, before this race, you said about the number one, you said this might be the last time that I have the chance. Is that because, as you were just saying, then it might be your last Ironman, or because you... I don't know, why did you say that?
I'm fairly certain I won't be racing next year. And I won't... If I do another Ironman, they won't give me number one. Like, it's a real privilege to get to wear it. And I think yesterday when I opened it, it kind of hit me a little bit. It was the first time that I realised that I was kind of in my head that I was actually doing the race. But, I think it hit me. It was an accident, really, triathlon. And it was so humbling running around here. And I think, you know, getting to wear number one is something that most people don't get. And I think it just, made me reflect a little bit. It's been an incredible experience, and the people I met and the support I've had is, I just wanted to bottle it today. Like the last, normally you want the run to end, and I, like honestly, I just wanted to keep running around or just kind of, I don't know, bottle what it's like, because there won't be many more days like that. There might never be any more days like that, but it's special.
Right, Phil Graves on the massage table in the recovery tent afterwards. Phil, how the heck are you? Without swearing.
Well, I've been better. I'm like, I was thinking in bed last night, like, if I, obviously I've been second day the last 2 years, I was thinking, like, if I win, I'll be overjoyed. If I'll be second, I'll be like, And if I was third, I'd be really disappointed. So, I guess I just feel a bit average, really, you know? Like, I think the field was a little bit weaker than last year. But, like, the pro field here is always, like, quite small, but you always get some really, really good guys turning up, like Victor Del Corral. Like, the last time I properly raced against him was 2012 in Ironman Lanzarote, and, like, he just ran past me, like, at halfway of the marathon, like an absolute steam train. And, like, obviously Matt Troutman has won here before, so there's some really, really good guys here, so to beat a few of them's good, but Matt was a lot better than me today. I did a 100-mile time trial last weekend, which I kind of kept on the lowdown. The BDCA one on the A50, and I rode 3:34, averaged 45.3k an hour, so I knew I was riding pretty well, and I just rode it really steady. Like, my average heart rate was 136 for 45.3k an hour average, so that was pretty good.
That's insane.
So I knew my biking was all right, but Matt was just, like, in a different league, like, riding today. Like, I was struggling to follow him at some points, and he did, like, 80% of the work, and I did, like, 20, and I managed to drop him on the descent into Wiseman's Bridge on the first lap, and I got about 30 seconds on him, but then literally there was no point in pressing on. I just, like, sat up for, like, the next 20k and just pedalled nice and slowly, because I knew I'd gain a lot more just sat by sat on him. But yeah, the stronger man definitely won today, and definitely a long way off that sort of form at the moment.
How had your training been leading into this?
Well, not great, to be honest. I've only done about 6-8 weeks decent training.
Is that because of injury or just focusing on time trialling and stuff?
No, not at all. Just, like, I've just been a bit down this year, just lacking motivation and just not really been feeling it. Like, I did Outlaw Half at the start of the year and was fourth, and I was really, really unfit, just, like, a bit depressed, just, like, not been bothered about it. But I managed to sort of get my act together a bit sort of in June, July time, and I only bought my pro license like 6 weeks ago, and my dad sort of had a chat to me and said, like, if you don't do Ironman Wales, you know, it would be a mistake to miss it and stuff. So I got it entered about 5 weeks ago, just before the cut-off date, and yeah, just put my head down for, like, the last 5-6 weeks. Done some decent time trialing, some decent running, or what I could do in the limited time I've had. And literally, I've found a bit of form really, really well. The last few weeks, I've been swimming quite well. Obviously, that showed today. Matt Lehman, I just sat on his feet, and I was surprised we got, like, quite a big gap on the swim. Like, the swim wasn't that hard. Like, it's always a nightmare, the second lap, swimming through all the age groupers, and that's something they sort of really need to address, because it just makes a mockery of the swim, really. Like, it's just an absolute nightmare. So the swim was pretty, like, easy, really. There wasn't, like, pushing on or anything. And then, yeah, I thought I was going quite well the first bit of the bike. I was just focused on being aero on the first 40k because it was a headwind. So I was surprised Matt, I don't know how much time we had out of transition, but Matt passed me about 35k, and I thought, oh well, he must be going all right, because I wasn't exactly hanging around. I was just focused on my aero into the headwind and just pushing on nice and steady. And then we just rode together for the rest of it.
And did or has today? The pain there. Yeah, has today, and has the training that you did in the run up to it, has it given you some more encouragement again?
Well, yeah, it's just, I sort of have these races where it reminds me that I'm not absolutely useless, even though sometimes I think I am.
You're not.
Like, I'd rate my fitness level probably like 7, maybe 7.5 out of 10. I've been doing some really good sessions, really, really good sessions. But, yeah, this is the first Ironman I've done the first one I've got round since Wales last year. I think a bit of the part, like, why I was really disillusioned, like, the first part of the year was, like, last year here, like, they had somebody put, like, some slick oil on the course, and I fell off, and my chain came off, and I only lost by 2 minutes, and I could have easily, when I look back on it, I looked at where I lost the time, and there was, like, 2 minutes there, so that really frustrated me. Then I went to Arizona, like, really fit, and was in the front group, and I punctured at 70k, and that's a long way to go for a puncture, and it was like completely irreparable, like it was a massive gash in the tire, so I just sort of felt the whole world was against me, like nothing was going right, so I was just really, really disillusioned, but yeah, onwards and upwards.
Do you know what might you do next race-wise, or are you really, is that something that you're going to spend some time thinking about?
Well, I've entered 70.3 Weymouth in 2 weeks. I'm unsure whether I'll race that. I've also been to Diamond Arizona again, because I've done that the last 2 years. The first year I got really sore feet on the bike, and last year obviously I punctured, which put me out, and we have a really nice homestay there. So last year, like, it wasn't a complete write-off because I had a lovely week with Walter and Tiffany, who we stay with. They're absolutely great, and they, like, completely make the week. And it's just a night, me and my dad go, and it's like a lad's week away in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, we have such a good time. And I love America. Like, obviously, I lived in Austin for a while. And, yeah, it's just a really, really nice week away that I'll miss if we don't go this year. So we'll see. I mean, it's quite hard to train for it, you know, there's when the clocks change, and it's a bit of a nightmare, but it's a fast course, and obviously I'm not unfit, so if I can just press on from here, then who knows.
And finally, and then I'll let you carry on, and then you can do a bit more squealing and stuff, what does make you keep coming back to Tenby?
Well, it kind of suits me, this course. I'm not like a super, super fast athlete. I'm more like a strong athlete. I am a bit overweight this year than what I have been the last few years, like 2 or 3 kilos heavier than what I have been. I think that's more just through like depression weight, just been eating, just been at home, just like stuff in my face. Like, my diet's been absolutely terrible. But yeah, it's definitely a course that suits me. Like, I know it's Tenby's a bit of a way away from York, but it's only like five and a half hours to get here. And like, the one thing that always sort of makes me so happy is like everybody just cheers for me. Like, it's just incredible. It's literally like a race in York for me now. Obviously this is my third year in a row doing it. Saying that though, on the second lap today I was really struggling, and I was running with Lucy Gossage for quite a bit on the second lap. And literally everybody was cheering for her.
There was one bit where we've been cheering you on, and then Lucy was there, and suddenly it's like, better cheer for Lucy.
Yeah, so it's like Lucy got like 95% of the...
I kept cheering, so you never even spoke to me.
Lucy's Brian.
Yeah, that's Brian Fogarty, bless him. I was in a world of pain, mate.
Oh, you were, mate.
Yeah, Lucy was getting like 95% of the cheers, and I was just like feeling quite left out. And then, so I decided I had to drop her then, as punishment. Yeah, so that was quite frustrating, but I hope she wins. It looks like she's going to win today. There was a point on the second lap where I was like, let's just run together, Lucy, you've got to keep me running because I'm going to drop out here. Just don't make me drop out. I honestly we were running side by side, and I said, Lucy, do not make me stop, seriously. If I stop, you've got to keep me going.
No pressure, Doc.
Yeah. And then that was in a really bad patch, and then I came back around a bit, and then I dropped her. So yeah, all's good. It was quite funny, but yeah, obviously the support Lucy has here is just absolutely incredible, and I think I need to win this a few times for me to get that same level of support. I'll think about that next year when I'm training for this race again.
Ryan Fogarty, getting there. What you getting?
Hot chocolate, Helen. Hot chocolate. I've craved it for about an hour. Oh.
How are you?
I'm happy I finished. After the season I've had, that was my number one priority. Got off to one hell of a bad start.
Did you come off your bike again?
No.
Oh, good.
No, I had a few wobbles, but no. What a course, what a race. I loved it. You're right. I'm glad I took your advice, Helen. Really, really enjoyed it. Great atmosphere. No, I'm happy. I put in a solid. From where I'm at in my fitness, I was happy with that. I just. Well, you know, obviously, when I last seen you, after that, I spent 3 days in hospital.
Do you want to grab that and we can sit down, by the way?
Yeah.
Or do you want? You might not want to sit down.
No,
do you want to sit down?
All right, to be
honest. Or are you happy standing here?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Okay. So, yeah, we saw each other. You were off to hospital.
Yeah. The thing was, I ended up, from that, I couldn't swim for 3 weeks. And as, you know, with me being not the strongest swimmer, I got back swimming eventually and I think I neglected it a bit. And then when I come today to sweat and it just couldn't, I just didn't. Just terrible. Terrible. Back to the drawing board with that one. But
the bike and the run?
Yeah, I worked hard on the bike. I wouldn't have thought there were too many going quicker because I really have to work. And I held a solid run. It's a tough course, that.
Isn't it?
What a tough run course. I thought Bolton was hard. That's harder than Bolton, no doubt about it.
It's just every bit. You look and it's like up.
Up, down, up,
but
down.
But the down doesn't feel like up. The down feels like up.
The downs hurt, don't they? Because they're actually quite steep downs. So you're sort of having to tanker on. Your quads and hammies are just tightening up. Oh, God, I'm glad I finished.
Are you happy with like where you finished today in terms of?
I'm not even sure the position. I know it was 9:30 time, which on this course is not bad. I mean, I know my swim. I don't even want to know my swim, to be honest. It was just terrible. Set off with pro as a pro, but obviously they're gone. So I swam first lap pretty much by myself, and I was absolutely all over shore, zigzagging.
And it feels really lonely, doesn't it? It's so much harder than Bolton.
Yeah, definitely. For me it was. The sighting's terrible, so I think it must have been a combination of that. I was just swimming by myself and working hard, probably too hard, and then Pax caught me, and I just couldn't find any rhythm or form at all. I was just thrashing around. Couldn't wait to get out, to be honest. Couldn't wait to get out and get on the bike. But I love the bike course. I love the bike. I'd love to come back because it's a course that would suit you. It'd help if you knew the course. I mean, we're coming off the last race. I was very tentative. I thought just last thing I wanted to do were a few times the back wheel went and oh, please not again. Luckily, I stayed on and what a good race. What a really, really good race.
Better than you had even expected?
Massively, yeah, massively. And I'll tell you what, some cracking performances. Young lad here, Henry Irving, awesome. Phil Graves looks strong, really strong. God, he's miserable out on course though. I'm going to tell him when I see him and get in my side now. I kept saying, come on, Phil, cheering him on. He didn't want to know, even acknowledging me. I think I'll have to stop that for future.
You were giggling at us when we were cheering. You were definitely giggling. We cheered for Phil.
Nothing.
I think he vaguely cracked a smile because there was literally no one else around and these loons going, Phil Graves! Phil Graves!
To be fair, he's probably just conserving his energy. There's a few times, so many people wanting to clap. You don't have the energy to even clap young kids' hands. I feel bad. I'm trying to like just say thanks to everyone who's like cheering me on every single lap. I don't even know half of them. And just go on Foggy. What a really good feeling to finish that tough race.
Love it. So what's next for you then?
I'm going to say
hot chocolate, then what?
Hot chocolate, massage. I've entered Barcelona. I wanted to see how it reacted, and I'll be honest, I don't really like saying it, but my foot that I've still fractured. The last 10k I've started to feel it. And I don't think that was a good sign, so I'm going to have to see how that reacts. I would like to do Barcelona just to finish the season off and just sort of get back to basics, like I said to you back in Outlaw, just get back to enjoying what I love doing and forget about position, times. The cat's type of person most of us are, you get on the start line, you're going to give it your all. You don't have to worry about that, but we do. We find ourselves sometimes like, and it's daft. It is, and I just today I just wanted to get that medal and just enjoy it, and I did. And I think if we do that, and I think we're doing that, you actually race better. You know,
I think we can all take a leaf out of Lucy's book for that, can't we?
Yeah. She's all right for that. Nikki Bartlett, she's always smiling and giving cheering each other on, which I like. And it's nice to see. It's nice for the Brits to do that. Well, for everyone to do that.
Awesome. I'm going to let you have your hot chocolate.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Nice seeing you again, as always.
So, Camilla, congratulations. Second place at Ironman Wales.
Yeah, it's always more fun to win, but I knew that Lucy Gossett, she's a machine and she's good. And I didn't really have a good bike because I had a crash and my saddle was loose and my handlebar got loose. And it took 105 kilometers before I came to a mechanic. So I had to sit up, and so it wasn't really the best bike, but then again, you just have to continue and keep going, and I couldn't have been her anyway. So Lucy just did great, so I'm really happy with second.
How did you find it out there?
How what?
How was it for you? How was coming to Tenby and Ironman Wales? You've probably heard a lot about it.
I only heard good things about it, and but the final decision was just made a week ago that I was going to race, so I haven't really prepared much for it. So, of course, I'm happy that I still performed okay. But I know I can do better, so I'm working on that.
What about the support out there?
The support is amazing. It's even though people don't know you, they cheer for you and say your name because your name is on your number belt. So it's just amazing and makes it so much more fun and so much more easy and so much more fast.
And how difficult have the last few years been for you after your crash and everything?
Oh, it's not been easy. It's been hard work, and there's still a lot of things that I can't get answers to after my accident, but it's because they can't really compare it to other people that had, because I have some with my brain, I have injuries in my brain, and when you have that, it never heals, and the brain controls the whole body, so I have some problems with the nervous system, and that also control the muscles, and that's why I've been having trouble with, lasting so long as I did today. So I'm really, really happy that I didn't die or the body shut down like I've done the last couple of years. So now we know what to work more on from now on. So it's one more step ahead instead of taking a step back. So
I love that. And you're still smiling.
I'm still happy, really happy.
Fantastic. I know you have been hanging around for ages, so I'm going to let you go. But thank you so much for stopping to talk.
Thank you so much.
Heather, we're fourth today here at Ironman Wales, but what was, like, are you happy with that? How was it out there for you?
Yeah, you know, I was really focused on 70.3-year-olds in South Africa, and I was kind of bummed that I didn't have the best day there, coming 11th, just outside the money. But I hadn't really done, like, an Ironman-specific block, so I just wanted to come and, like, experience this epic race, and so I knew that the fitness was there, and I could have a good day, but I really didn't have set expectations. You know, I'm just a competitive person. You're always aiming for the podium. You know, you always like imagine you can have a great performance. So I was happy with it on the day. Had a good swim. I rode pretty strong for the first loop in a bit, and then when Lucy and Nikki went by me, I just couldn't really respond. So I just toughed it out, rode my own pace, and then just hung tough on the run. It felt like a pretty respectable day. This course,
yeah, what did you make of it?
Oh my goodness, it's so hard. But it's awesome hard, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Ironman, the kind of courses I like, are really challenging. It's a bit of an adventure, like it's a huge accomplishment to get to the finish line. And just the four loops, like the hills and stuff, and the wind was relentless on the bike. You end with like a 16% pitch and then a 12%, but the crowds are crazy. And then it's just uphill and downhill and uphill and downhill, and so you're kind of just like laughing like, this is ridiculous, this is so hard, but yet it's inspiring, you know, because you just see everyone out there just getting it done, and the crowd support was amazing. So I just was like, all right, well, just keep ticking it over. So
was it harder than you expected? You've probably heard a lot about it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, people tend to over exaggerate hardness, but here arguably they under like it. I knew the bike was going to be hard, but I didn't quite appreciate how hard the run was. Like,
it's insane, isn't it?
It's really insane. It's just like 4 miles up and then 4 miles sort of down, but it's not easy down. Like, it hurts your quads more. And then, yeah, but yeah, like I said, it's one of those ones you can feel really proud of having finished. Yeah.
And I bet you're glad to have come here.
100%. The landscape is just gorgeous. We were staying in this lovely place. Just just everyone is really friendly, and so it's one of those just great experiences. Yeah.
So are you off home now?
We're spending a couple of days around, but then yeah, we're flying back to Canada this week. Trevor and I actually didn't focus on the Big Island this year. We sort of need a break. It's of course with the heat and humidity that I've struggled with in the past. Put in like big blocks and, you know, come 12th or 8th is my best finish, but it's just like, it's not appealing. Whereas this, even though it's so hard, I don't know, it's just somehow more appealing. So we were like, well, we just want to hit up some races like this, some iconic events, and then maybe we'll see about it for next year. But we really like racing in Europe, so
come over here again.
Yeah. That, no, but honestly, like, the atmosphere is amazing. The crowd support is amazing. People really support the events, which is something you just appreciate as an athlete. Yeah.
Lewis Eccleston, you just crossed the line. What was that? Oh, 5 minutes short of 10 hours. Amazing. How was it?
It was really good. Really enjoyed it. Never done it before. Never wrecked the course, so I didn't know what I was in for. So I just expected the worst. Really thought it was going to be a really, really tough day, but it turns out it's all right. The roads are absolutely fantastic. It's so smooth, no potholes, rolling roads, and yeah, just really good, solid, tough race.
What a big smile on your face.
I know, I'm over the moon. I couldn't have executed a better race if I tried. I got pipped for first place, but there's nothing I could have done. It's just, it's one of them, innit? You can only do your best on the day, and that's whatever result you get. So yeah, I'm happy. Second place, gonna take my place for Kona as well next year.
Oh, excellent. So you're gonna go back next year?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Learned a lot last year. In a short amount of time we had to train from qualifying at UK, and then yeah, hopefully I can execute a better plan. Got a full year to prepare for it. Confident I can do well there next year.
And what made you want to come to Tenby?
Early qualification for Kona. I just love to race as well. I really wanted to come out of Ironman UK this year injury free, so I could enter this race and do it, because you know, you hear so many good things about it, and it's just a bucket list race for everybody. Everyone says how good it is in the atmosphere, and it is. It's absolutely deafening when you go up the last few climbs near the end, really steep climbs. The crowd and the support is awesome. They're just everywhere.
How did you think it compared to Bolton?
The road surface has made the difference. It was awesome. It was really good. And it's good to do different races as well to freshen it up, rather than doing the same races all the time. Not knowing what to expect.
You're getting a hug. It's all right.
I was going to give this guy a hug, because we were with each other most of the way. He caught me and dummy in the end. Top work, man. What did you finish first?
Second.
Yeah, I think I got second too. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
What you can do is race your best race, and it is what it is.
We done good.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Kona then.
Yeah.
You can come and share with me and Joe Skipper if you like. All right.
Awesome.
Take care.
See you in a bit.
So Rob, Joe Skipper, go on.
I like the live at the finish line interviews with people. I think it's great.
They're good. See, a lot of the you probably heard a weird noise in some of them, especially Lewis's there. That was the foil blankets, because it was pretty chilly at the end there, and it's quite difficult. Yes, yeah,
rustling and keeping them wrapped up. Yeah, no, it's good. It shows it's live and in the heart of the action, doesn't it?
Yeah, correct. I couldn't believe how much Phil opened up to me. So thank you, Phil Graves, for talking to me whilst on the massage table.
Yeah, and what an honest interview, hey?
Yeah, I know. Really, really honest interview. And I just hope that, yeah, this weekend has given him the, you know, the sort of confidence again, Rob.
Yeah, so a bit actually, of a boost, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think so many people will get so much from listening to Phil talk, because loads of the guys in the team Facebook group were talking this week about like the idea of mid-season slumps or losing motivation or feeling a bit down about training sometimes. And one of the themes that ran through that was people felt guilty for feeling that way. They felt like, you know, they shouldn't feel like this, because triathlon's a thing they really enjoy doing. But they all went through phases, or loads of people in the Facebook group went through this phase of, I just can't motivate myself to train at the moment. So to hear a pro triathlete open up like that and say, Yeah, do you know what? I've been really down and I haven't felt like I'm able to train properly. I've been overeating and I've not been able to train properly and I feel like I'm a bit heavy. That's going to resonate with so many people.
Yeah, yeah. And then the fact that he's obviously turned that around and he's sort of coming out and able to come out the other side of that and still perform really well.
Yeah.
Really well.
Too,
you know?
Right. I mean, what was it he said he rode? 3:34 for 100 miles. The weekend before the race, averaging 45 kilometres an hour. He's a phenomenal athlete, isn't he?
Yep, absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
Good. It's great stuff.
I really hope then that this can be like a springboard to, you know, maybe as he mentioned, go on to Arizona again and things like that. Because he's so talented.
Yeah. Well, it'd be great to see him go. Obviously, the Wales course is super hilly. And Phil's got this incredible bike strength, but one of his strengths, I think, is that time trialing ability. So a course like Arizona, he's either going to be able to get off the front and ride on his own and just destroy everyone, or he's going to be able to ride with a pack of people and, you know, sit third wheel and not put any effort out and turn it into a running race. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he goes there. And yeah.
And then Rob, Lucy as well, what she was saying about, you know, that she probably won't be racing Ironman again next year, and I think that was part of the emotion of it all at the finish line for her. Just, you know, she's got such an incredible record there and at home races, and I guess it's just such a significant part of her life, which she probably was, as she said, never really expecting. And the people that she's met through it and everything that she's achieved in it and just stuff that she would never have thought possible in it. Yeah. And she does love it.
The thing that I love about Iron Man is that everybody gets the same experience, from the slowest person to the very fastest person. Somebody like Lucy has gone into this without any expectations, and it's turned out that alongside a hell of a lot of hard work, she's got the genetics and talent to do really well at it. But she's having the same fundamental experience that the people finishing in Heroes Hour are having, in that it's expanded her world massively. You know, she's got to meet all kinds of people from all different walks of life that she would never have met. She's not been doing this sport. And that's what I love about the sport. It brings so many people together that I genuinely don't think that a Premiership footballer has the same experience as a guy playing Sunday League football, whereas you do in Ironman and 70.3.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say that is so, so true. Like, I'm doing stuff now that through triathlon that I would never have thought I would do. You know, when I sort of think back to the first race that I did in Nantes, which in the brine swimming pool, and it was just a little bit of fun and something because I had got injured running, and then, you know, seven years later?
Yeah.
Everything that I'm doing now related to triathlon, and yeah, so much stuff. It is amazing. And then I guess another hard thing is, once you've been at the very, very, at the very top of your sport, then it would be difficult to go back and do it just for... It'd be very difficult, I think, for some people to then go back and do an Ironman just for fun, because you know what you were capable of.
Yeah. But you know what? Isn't it interesting that so many people still do? You've got...
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
Someone like Natasha Badman?
Yeah, Natasha Badman or Scott Molina come back and race as age group. And they're not racing age group in the way that they want to go out and, you know, I heard Chris McCormack talking the other week about coming back and racing age group. And you're like, well, come on, dude, you only retired like 2 years ago. But, you know, they're going out and they're racing and they're not winning their age group. They're obviously training a hell of a lot less than they were back in the day, but they're just loving doing the sport still. So it's great. I'll tell you what, mate, I have a lot more fun racing these days in 50% of the shape I was.
because it's that, well, it goes back to, again, what Lucy said in her interview, because there's that element of just, well, it doesn't matter, I can go and have fun. Like, I'm doing Sandman, Rob, in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
I have not. Yes, I'll have done the swim training. I have not done any hard running at all, probably since, I don't even know, like, I genuinely don't really know. Biking, again, I haven't done any intervals on that bike for quite a while, so it'll be fun.
You're really looking forward to just getting out there and having some fun though, right?
I'm not really bothered. I'm going to go and have some fun, spread the Race Force love, sell some Fueled by Kate books the day before. So if you're coming, please bring £10. And go and just have a good giggle.
Great. Well, give Helen a shout if you're there.
Yes.
Right. Well, listen, I want to talk about something that Lucy mentioned in her interview, because I've got a quote that I wrote down from her here, Hels. She said partway through, probably the lesson from today is that I've always overtrained because physically today I was super fresh. And I thought that was such a good point to talk about for Coach's Couch today. Because if somebody like Lucy is recognizing that a lot of the time in her career she's been physically overtrained, and she's only realizing at the end when she comes along to do something and she hasn't put anywhere near the volume of training in that she's used to doing, how applicable is that to the every man and the every woman in the street? And I thought that was really worth emphasizing to people who were listening, because it's so common that we see people in the last couple of weeks before the big 70.3 or the big Ironman sort of go, oh, it's 2 weeks away, I've really got a pile of training in now over these last couple of weeks. And what happens is they end up really tired. Even if they're really fit, they're really tired for race day and they have a disappointing performance. Or worse, they pile that training on and they end up picking up a niggle, or worse, an injury, or a bit of a sniffle, or they feel not quite themselves for race day. So I thought it was such a big thing, because something that comes up all the time in the team Facebook group is exactly this. 2 weeks before race day, it's like, Coach, I don't think you've given me enough training. I'm feeling really good. Give me some more. I want to do more. Can I go and do a fast run session? You know, there's a club nearby that's got an interval session. I feel like I could go and really smash something out. And I'm always saying, aren't I, like, the coach's job is very often not to motivate people and not to push people on. It's to say no to people and tell them you need to back off and you need to hold it back for race day. So if this is you, you're out there and you're listening and you're 2 weeks out from your race and you're wondering whether you should go out and really pile the training on, I'd say listen to Lucy Gossage's advice here and just go in a little bit physically undercooked for race day and be fresh, ready to go and really up for it rather than completely cooked.
I want to echo those a zillion times, Rob.
Yeah.
I really, really do. It's, yeah, it's so easy. I remember even Rachel Joyce, when we spoke to her in her one of her interviews with us, and she said it was the first Ironman she did, I remember, and she said that she thought it was a good idea to do a little bit of panic training the week before and, you know, go out on her, or maybe the first time in Kona or something like that, and she just said I completely overcooked it. And then had a bad race, and far better to be undercooked than overcooked.
You said it. All right, now then, moving on a little bit. A couple of bits of news for you before we finish up today. First up, there's going to be a new 70.3 race in France next year.
Rob, there is, and I saw this and I thought, oh, this looks nice. And it's going to be at Les Sables d'Olonne in the Vendée, which is on the west coast of France, probably about halfway down. And I just saw it and I thought, oh, that brings back memories of camping holidays when I was a little person. And lovely part of France, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. I've just been down that way for a holiday this summer, and beautiful weather, beautiful scenery, lovely warm water. I think it's going to be a killer event. Really, really good.
And oh, yeah.
flat on the bike as well around there.
Yeah, and it's going to be a canal swim, so it's not even in the sea.
Just as well, because the surf's pretty tasty there during the summertime. I was thinking you don't want to be swimming out through 6 foot surf, do you?
Oh, no. It does say that it's going to go through the forest. That forest is like, I just recall that probably on hired bikes at the age of, you know, 8 or 9, going through pine trees and yeah.
Beautiful area.
Hopefully, yeah, very, very nice. And then the the run bit, three loops around Les Sables de Lons.
Good stuff. And we've That's also cool, got it? Coming up this weekend the grand final in Gold Coast, Australia, where Vicky Holland is in with a sniff of the overall win.
Correct. So there are like something only like 34 points between her and Katie Zafiris, who is currently leading the overall standings. So effectively, Rob, whoever finishes ahead,
whoever crosses will... the line gets the overall championship.
Correct. Yeah, whoever finishes ahead of the other one, yeah, will get
Good
that
stuff,
win.
Right.
So that's very cool. And then the other people who are in contention, they could mathematically claim the overall title, but what they definitely very much could do is get on the overall podium are Georgia Taylor Brown, who's had a really, really good season this year, and Jess Learmonth too.
Brilliant. So a lot of British interest there.
Correct. And Mario Mola pretty much is nailed on for the men's title.
He sure is.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes out for that then. It'll probably be on the BBC this weekend, won't it, I'd imagine?
Yeah, it's going to be on the red button, and then there'll be highlight shows as well.
Cool stuff. All right, well, nice one, Hells. Top work this weekend, cheering people on, waving your Precision Hydration hat around and getting some finish line interviews. That was really good. I felt like I was there. I felt like I had all the emotion as Lucy Gossage was talking at the finish line there. So top work.
Rob, can I say one thing? My lesson that I learned this weekend, it was a good lesson to learn, actually.
Okay.
It genuinely is as hard being a spectator for an Ironman as it is doing it.
I don't know if it genuinely is. It might figuratively be.
No, seriously. You don't have the DOMS. You don't have the DOMS the following day. Fine. I have throat DOMS.
Okay.
My throat really hurts today from shouting. We walked, right, my watch thing said 18 miles. Now,
wow.
Granted, I don't think it was 18 miles because if you clean your teeth, it seems to think that you've walked. And I was shaking a rattle. So I think that would have...
counted towards it.
Yeah, but let's say more or less walked a half marathon yesterday. My alarm went off at 4:45. I got into bed around about 10:15. And yeah, I can see it was a big day.
You
so
put a good shift in, didn't you?
Put a good shift in. So absolute total respect now. I had it before, but even more now for our amazing friends and family who come and support us at these races. It is good fun supporting, but it can be stressful and it is so tiring. And for anyone who, I think for the partners who end up looking after, if you've got children, they have to look after the kids. That is a long time to keep little people, humans occupied and interested. So absolutely go and give an even bigger thank you to your amazing people who support you all the way through it, because yeah, it's a lot of work.
Good stuff. All right, well, listen, I think we had better wrap it up there, Hells. So one final shout out to our sponsors. Thanks very much to precisionhydration.com and foodcell.co.uk. And a little bit of a sneak trail here. We're going to be opening up a public Facebook group, an Oxygen Addict Triathlon community. We've had a little look and thought there's a lot of good stuff going on in our private group, but we want to do some stuff for the general public as well. So keep your eyes peeled for that. That's going to be probably open in the next week or so. So yeah, watch this space, everybody. That should be cool, shouldn't it, Hells?
Love it. Nice. Oh, and Rob,
chat going on.
One last thing to finish off with, which scene tonight. So someone must have said to Chrissy Wellington, what podcasts do you recommend?
Yeah.
Her answer, Oxygen Addicts.
Love it.
Oxygen
there you
Addict.
Go.
Yep, Bob Babbitt, Tina Muir and Marathon Talk. There you go, we're up there, Rob.
Recommended by former world champion Chrissy Wellington. You're in good company, listeners. All right, listen, till next week then. Thanks very much, everyone. I'm Coach Rob Wilby.
I'm Helen Murray.
And you've been listening to the Oxygenetic Triathlon Podcast. Have a great, safe training week, everyone. And we'll speak to you all again soon. Cheers. See ya.